So we're on Daf Tesam and Aleph. Very profound sugya. Let's just review again the Shachal V'Tarya outside. The Gemara says that if he saw the Chulda coming into the Dais after he did the Bedika, then he has to do another Bedika. And the Gemara is bothered by that. And the Gemara says, why not say that the Chulda ate the Chametz? So the Chulda brought in the Chametz and the Chulda got rid of the Chametz. Why do you need a Bedika? And in the case of a Nefel, in Maduras Akum, we find that the assumption is if there's a Chulda around, the Chulda will have consumed the Nefel, and therefore there's no longer the Gzera of Maduras Akum. A Kohen's allowed to go in there. So Rava says there's no comparison. In the case of a Chulda, we have a Rov. Maybe there's a rov that most chuldos will in fact eat the chametz, but there's still a miut, and that miut is called a miut shenikar. Miut shenikar. Don, were you here when we discussed this? I'm not sure. Maybe it was the day before. I think I had it.
Yeah, right
here. I had it on the board here, but that was the day before.
Amen. I missed Sunday morning.
So if you could write this down,
miut
hanikar.
I have it.
Oh, you do have it? Okay. So again, I'm not sure what a miut hanikar means, but certainly one out of five, 20% would be a miut hanikar. That's a sizable, and it's something that we have to deal with. So in 20% of the cases, the chulda did not or will not consume the lechem. Says Rava, that's called a suffek. We started with a vadai. We know that the chulda took the chametz into the house, and now we have a suffix. Maybe the chulda ate it, but maybe it didn't eat it. So you'll say, but the Torah says we should rely on rov. So the answer is that the Torah does not rely on rov if the rov is coming to remove a vadai. We started with a vadai. We know that there was chametz in the house subsequent to the bedika. Now, instead of creating a chazaka that's baduk, we have now a chazaka of eno baduk, meaning it now has a new chazaka. It shed its chazaka of baduk, and now it took on a chazaka of eno baduk, which means it's a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Now you want to say, well, maybe the chametz was consumed. Well, maybe it wasn't consumed. Well, in most cases, the chulda will eat the chametz, but still there are many cases where the chulda will not eat the chametz, and that's a significant minority, and that's called a miut nikar, and therefore that rov does not have the ability to knock off the vadai, the cheskas, eino baduk. Masha'en came in the case of the nefel. What do we start with?
Suffek.
We never knew for sure that there was a Nefel. We were concerned with the possibility of there being a Nefel. Well, now we have a right to say, well, you know what? You're concerned with the possibility of a Nefel? Rely on the Chulda. What do you mean? The Chulda is only a robe. It's a robe with a miut hanikar. Maybe the Chulda did not eat the Nefel. And Reb Zera says, no, don't worry. You can rely on the Chulda. It will definitely eat the Nefel. That's basar. No. Rava says, I don't even have to come on to that. Forget about that. You may or may not be right, Rav Zeira, but it's irrelevant. Why? Because I'm very satisfied here, because the entire enterprise of Maduras Akum is built on a suffix. We don't know that there's a Nefel there to begin with. And now we have another suffix with a rove and a miut nikar that the chulda would have eaten up the Nefel. That's enough to remove the original suffix. So in the battlefield here, if you start with a suffix isur, you can counter with a suffix heter. And that suffix could remove the original suffix. But if you start with a vadai, because you know that the vices ain't no baduk insofar as the fact that there's chametz now in the house, now you come up with a suffix, okay, you have a rov. But that rov is not powerful enough to remove from a vadai. And when you compare that rov to a vadai, you're left with a suffix. So the Gemara says, that's not true. I'll prove it to you. Because we have a case of Vaday Tevel, and we have a suffix whether the Chaver was Mafrish Maser or not. Most Chaverim will be Mafrish Trumas of Maisers. But you know what? There's also a Miut HaNikar. There's going to be 20% of chaverim that aren't going to be mafish. So you started with a vadai, and you ended up with a rov. The rov has a miut hanikar, and yet that rov is powerful enough to remove the vadai. So how could Rava claim that a rov, in the case of chulda eating chametz, is not powerful enough to remove the vadai, because we know the chametz went into the house, when in fact we know this was tevel, it created a vadai. We believe that in all likelihood, let's call it 80% chances that the chaver was mafresh the trumas of maestros, but there's still a 20%. We still are in the level of a suffix relative or vis-a-vis the vadai that this started as a state of tevel, and you see nevertheless that the rov with a miud hanikar is strong enough and powerful enough to override the vadai. So let's come to the conclusion that sofek motzim in vadai. Now on both sides, the way we're saying it now, by the way, is this on silent? Oh shit, you did? Great, excellent. Because I always forget. So great. If you remember to put on silent, then call it kavod. Because I'm like muad ledover. I don't remember. So now, what does it mean? If the Gemara is arguing that sofek is motzi midei vadai, that doesn't make any sense. I think the word sofek here has to be reinterpreted. It means a sofek with a rove. It means a rove which still remains a suffix, but it can't be pure suffix 50-50. 50-50 doesn't have the power to override 100%. You can't take a 50 and remove it from 100. But what we're saying is that the Torah relies on rove. And rove might still be in the getter of a suffix, but it's a suffix with a hachra to it. Hachra means you can tip the scale. It's not, if you have 50-50, you don't know how to tip the scale. Flip a coin. But here, I'm going to tip the scale in favor of the Afrosha because I have a rove. And even though that rove still has a miud hanikar, and therefore we haven't left the Beis HaSofek, we're still within the category of Sofek, nevertheless it's enough of a rove that the Torah could rely on the rove against the Vadai. And if that be the case, then in the Chulda, with the Chametz, we should have a rove that's powerful enough, despite the miud hanikar, to override the vadai. That's the Gemara's kash on Rava. Does anybody want to defend Rava and tell me that this is not a rove? David?
You mentioned yesterday that the chaver, there is no miur. In almost every case, the chaver is going to do what he's supposed to do.
And therefore, what are we going to do with this chaver? We're going to upgrade it to the status of what? A vadai. Beautiful. That's what the Gemara says over here. Take a look at the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, awesome. Now, if you're counting up from the bottom of the Gemara, because you want to see this inside, this is what you call osios machkimos. Count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom. The first word in the line is vadai. Hasam vadai uvadaihu. You're right. I grant you the premise that it's tevel, and we know it's tevel. But there's also a hafrosha, and that hafrosha is not just some sort of a flimsy assumption, maybe, but rov and this and that with a miyad hanikar. Forget about all that. It's a vadai. Vadaihu de vadai maasre. He definitely, this chaver would be what? Relied upon that he gave the levy his due. He was mafresh maaser, and the Gemara proves that because there's a chazak al chaver she'eno motzi mitachas yod adover she'eno mesukon. Yesterday we gave a number of different twists, a number of different possible interpretations, but what's common to all of them is that the Gemara's chiddush here to defend Rava and the principle of ain't sofik motzi v'ein vadai is this is not a case of sofik against vadai. We're out of the Beis HaSofek. This is a case of Vadai Uvadai. And Rashi goes out of his way to dramatize this. And he says, Ein Gimgum B'dover. It's not that we're, probably this, that, and the other thing. No. It's Vadai, and it's a Chazoka, Al Kol HaChaverim, Rashi says, that they were mafrish masa. But in the case of a chulda, with all due respect, a chulda is not like a chaver. We don't have a chaverim club for, you know, in America they have a club called chaverim. Here they call it yedidim. You know what I'm talking about? I know it myself because just 2 days ago I couldn't get my car working. And I was really in a bind. The weather was awful. It was late at night. It was Tuesday night. And I called Yedidim, and I'm telling you, the fella's name is Gavriel. Gavriel is a malach. This was Mamash a malach. And now the car is working, all because of Yedidim. I gave him 50 shekel. He doesn't take it for himself. He gives it to the organization. Now I'm feeling a little guilty. Maybe that was too cheap. I should have given him more. Okay, I could always contact Yedidim and figure out how to give them money. In America, they call him Chaver. So, with all the respect, Chaver, you know, you can call a Jew who observes the laws of Shabbos and Maaseh meticulously, he's a Chaver. But I wouldn't call a Chulda Chaver. So we're still left in the case of Chulda with what? Everybody. A Miud Hanikar. And if it's a Miud Hanikar, we're still in the gather of what? Suffolk. And if we're together in Suffolk, Rava is right, ain't Suffolk motzei vada. But when we get to a chaver, a chaver is absolutely reliable and therefore becomes vada. Now we're up to what I call shlav bet. This is a whole new approach. Never until this point did the Gemara question the following premise. The tevel is vadei tevel, and therefore we need a vadei to be motzi midei vadei. For the first time, mamash is a breakthrough in history. The Gemara questions that very premise. Maybe this is not vadei tevel. Now wait a second. I have grains, five species of grains. I have, let's say, zeisim and anovim, you know, olives and grapes, and the Torah says that this is tevel. You have to be mafrish masi. How can you tell me that's a suffix? So here we have a concept called harama. Have you heard of it? Harama. I'll write it down because it's going to be very relevant when we speak about mechiras chametz, you know, selling your chametz. Harama. Harama means that you could find a loophole in the law and you could work it out technically that you won't have any legal problems according to the halacha. There's a way of avoiding teva by doing a harama. Again, if you're a good Jew, you're not going to want to take this road, take this path. Maybe we shouldn't publicize this, so we'll keep it quiet. Nobody should tell us, and, you know, don't publicize this outside. I'm only letting you in our secret because I know you're all good. You're all good guys, and you would never think of doing a harama to cheat the Levi out of 10% of your produce. Because the Levi needs it pretty desperately. So what do you do? So here we have an overview of the laws of Teva. The first level is called Havas Shlish. All of Zroim, you know, we're coming up on Tu Bishvat next week, right? So all of Zroim is predicated on what's called a Shem Pri. Shem Pri means the halachic category of a Pri. There are many, many stages in the development of a Pri. When I say a Pri, it literally translates as a fruit, but the word Pri includes also Tvua in a Hilchas Roim. Again, in the way we use the language, if I talk to you about Peros, it means Peros HaElon. That means fruits that grow on a tree. That's very relevant to Arla and to Tu Bishvat, but we're not talking about Peros in that sense. We're talking about Peros as produce. And produce in this case includes zeisim, anovim, and chameshes minei dog. Okay, that's the be all and the end all. And here the Torah says, what stage of development is the fruit, is the pri at? At what stage does the halacha stamp it as a pri? And it becomes categorized as a pri. I'll give you a mashal. You know, we have what's called a minor. Right? At what point does a person leave the status of a minor and become an adult? In halachic terms, for a girl it's what? 12, right? And for a boy it's 13. So, you know, you attain a certain status in the development. So what's the development of the pre? Because there are many, many stages that are very, very early. There's something called smadar. There's something called bosar. These are all terms that play a big role in Zrun. The key phrase for our purposes is called Havah Shlish. And it's a phrase that is so complicated. Every single species has its own Havah Shlish. We could literally spend months, and I'm not dramatizing, trying to figure out Havah Shlish. Because it's Havah Shlish for Zesim, and Havah Shlish for Nov, and Havah Shlish for Seorin, and for this and that. So you got to know Zroim inside out for that. So don't fool yourself into thinking Havah Shlish means it's one third of its development. Like in the case of Michael Ben Josai, some Rishonim say it's one third cook. That's not what we're talking about in Zeroy. And there are simanim that you look at it, you're able to determine whether it's Havah Shlish. It's not yet Teva. It has a shame pre, but it's not Teva. Because the Torah says to be Chayev as Teva, we need Gmar Moloch. Now again, to oversimplify a very complicated concept, Gmar Malacha means winnowing. In Hilcha Shabbos, it's one of the 39 Malachas. It's called Zoreh. Zoreh, not with an ayin at the end, that's Zoreh, but Zoreh with a hay at the end. What they did is they threw it up into the air. They had certain pans. It was on the pan. They threw it up in the air, and the wind would carry away the chaff. That's called Gmar Malacha. Now, once you have Gmar Malacha, then you take it into the house. That's called Re'ias Pnei Abayis. You take it into the house. It's Tevel. You have to take off 10%. If somebody eats that fruit without taking off 10%, or he makes a kemach out of it, he makes a flour, he bakes some bread, and he eats that bread, he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Very severe violation. Where's the Haram? The Harama is, if you switch the order, and instead of going from Havah Shlish straight to Gmar Malacha, you wedge in between what's called Re'ias Pnei Abayis. So what you have is fruits, produce, you take it into your house before you threw it up into the air and winnowed it. And in so doing, you remove the shame tevel. You make it impossible for these fruits, this produce, to be teva. And that's called haroma. In theory, it means a person go through his whole life and never give a dime to the Levi, not a single penny, not one afrashas master, because he consistently did this haroma. As I told you before, don't spread the word, because we don't want to cut out the Levi from his master. Says the Gemara, because of this possibility of harama, we end up with Safek Tevel. The premise that we've been operating with from the beginning of the sugya to the end is that this Magura Malea Peros, I see these fruits, they were cut down, they reached Havah Shlish, we assume there was Gmar Malacha, everything was done Kedasu Kedin, this is Tevel. But the answer is no. It may be Tevel, but it might not be Tevel, because it's possible that these fruits were brought into the house before he did the Zriya, Zion Resh Yud Yud He, before he did the winnowing, and then he took it out of the house and he sends it out to the market, or he gives it to you as a gift, or he sells it to you, whatever he does with it. It's not Tevel. And it can't become Tevel. Why can't it become Tevel? Because once there was Re'ias Pnei Abayis, and the chaff was still on the kernel, it was before the Gemar Malacha, once he switched around the order, and it was Re'ias Pnei Abayis before the Gemar Malacha, that Gemar Malacha is not called the Gemar Malacha. As far as the Halacha is concerned, that Gemar Malacha is Efes, it's zero, and it doesn't generate a Shem Tevel. Did he do it? Did he not do it? Which way did he do it? We don't know. If he did it the normal way, and we're looking at a basket of fruits, the Gemar Malacha was first, and the Re'ias Pnei Abayis was second, then it's Vade Tevel. But we don't know, because maybe, just maybe, what we're looking at are fruits that had a reverse order, and the Re'ias Pnei Abayis took place before the Gemar Malacha, and therefore could never become Tevel. And that's called in the Lashon HaGemara, Amar Rav Oshia, this is 5 lines up before the end of the Amud, Marim means he does this harama. Haram is the noun and Marim is the verb. Marim Adam al Tvuaso Machnisa b'mot shelo. What does machnisa mean? Takes it into the house, and it's still b'motz. He hasn't done the gemara malach yet. He switched around the order. He did achnosas pnei avayis, rias pnei avayis before gemara malacha. And what does he gain by this? So again, I'm gonna just bracket a few words for a moment because I don't want to confuse me. Upatura min amaser, and it doesn't become tevel. It's patur min amaser. Tevel means a chiyuv maser. That chiyuv maser engenders a chiyuv an isa tevel. And there's no chiyuv maser in this. Not only is there no chiyuv maser, but there cannot be a chiyuv maser. Why? Because the gemara malacha doesn't register. The gemara malacha cannot register once the fruits and the produce was brought into the house before the gemara malacha, meaning before the meruach, when it was still b'mot shalom, when it was still covered by the chair. David?
If the chaver was trusted 5 minutes ago to be honest with his devil, why do we assume that he's not so honest in pointing the shtick with the...
Well, again, maybe he had workers, you know, that they were employees, you know, there were anything could have happened. Anything could have happened. You know, keep in mind also, this is the last day on this on the earth.
No, but you're calling it a shtick, but it's real halacha, isn't it? You can also say, Mikrat Hametz, before Pesach is a shtick.
Right.
It's not a shtick, it's real halacha.
Right, so the truth is, we're raising, you know, we're really raising a Pandora's box, opening a Pandora's box, because when are you allowed to do aroma, when are you not allowed to do aroma? You know, there may be situations where, for various reasons, maybe there aren't any levium around. You know, we have trouble here in the ELC finding levium. I don't know. Lately, you know, it's great to be a Kohen here. We don't have too many Kohenim either. But once you're a Kohen, like, it's almost a double. You get a two for the price of one here because we don't have any levium. I just found out this morning in the shtiblof because they called up a chaver of mine that I learn with every week, and they called him up as a Levi. I didn't realize he was a Levi, so I figured it out. But maybe the situation is such that, you know, he's hard pressed for money. You know, there may be situations where even a chaver, or maybe like I said before, his workers pulled this off. But the bottom line is, we're not sure when we look at these fruits that they have the status of tevel. Now, what does it mean when we add the words here, which I skipped before, kidei shetehei behemto ocheles? Let's try to understand what that's about. So for this we have to, again, I didn't write the script, so don't blame me for this, but we have to go back to basics again. There are fundamental ideas that we have to know in Hilchos Trumos and Maisros. There's something called...
See, I didn't leave myself much room here, because I don't want to erase what we have, although probably over Shabbos somebody will erase, some before Shabbos. We have something called an achilas keva, and the opposite is called achilas aroy. So just to translate these words, keva and aroy, I'm going to translate very liberally, very loosely. This is significance, and this is like very fly-by-night, temporary, it's temporal, it's just like chop a snack kind of thing. You know, sometimes you're on the run, and you grab something to eat, it's very temporary, it's called an achilas aroy. And these concepts are very, very profound when it comes to zroy. And why is that so? Because very often, the halacha will be more flexible and more lenient with regard to an achilas aroy. And this is extremely important when we deal with the most fundamental distinction in Zroim, which is between da'orises and da'rabbanans. I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. We said before that tevel emerges after the implementation of two different processes. There's got to be a havah shlish, and there's got to be a gemar malach. Well, the rabbanan came along, and they said, we don't need gemar malach. We're going to establish it as tevel, even without gemar malach, simply because it has a shame pri.
it's reached the stage of Havah Shlish. Because the Rabbanon are very worried about violating Tevel, so they're not going to wait till the Gemar Malacha. They're going to say, you know what, let's be nervous, let's be anxious about the possibility that if we allow him to eat these fruits and these produce before Gemar Malacha, he might come to eat it accidentally after Gemar Malacha. So let's take Gemar Malacha, which on a Doraisa level is absolutely critical, and the basic condition, the absolute condition of Tevel on a Doraisa level is Gemar Malacha, not before Gemar Malacha. We're gonna bracket that. We're gonna say, you know what? Havah Shlish, it's a shame pri, and we're not gonna allow you to eat. We're gonna create a new concept called a shame Tevel, which freezes the whole requirement of Gemar Malacha. Now, why would Rabbanan do such a thing? So we have to understand the following. Let's go back to the Doraisa structure. What would you think intuitively if I tell you that Shem Tevel after Avash Lish requires Gemar Malacha on a Doraisa level? What would you be your intuitive response if a person has fruits in front of him, produce that's reached Avash Lish, and he decides and he wants to be Mafrish Maser? It's before Gemar Malacha. Would the Torah recognize that Afrosh as meaningful? Intuitively, I would say absolutely not. But in fact, that's not true. The Halacha says that although the Shem Tevel and the Chiyuv Afrosh is suspended, is postponed until Gemar Malacha, the Torah says with the Shem Pri, when that Shem Pri emerges, you can go ahead and be Mafrish Maser. And that Afrosha will register, it becomes Maser with all the dinim, you have to give it to the Levi, and there's no longer Tevel, you've removed Tevel. Come along the Rabbanon, they say, wait a minute, if the Torah itself recognizes this Shem Pri with Havah Shlish to such an extent that he can opt voluntarily to be Mafrish, that there's a Shem Afrosha, and Afrosha is valid, even though it's before Gemar Malacha, obviously Havah Shlish is a very significant part of the process. So for example, in Gerus, if a Ger had Mila without Tefillah, garnished, it's worthless. And in most cases, when the Halacha has a two-stage process, until you get to the culmination, stage two, it's worthless. Stage one alone is not enough. So if a man gives a woman for Kiddushin a half of prut, and he hasn't given her the other half of prut, to garnish getreffen, nothing happened over here. She's not an Eishes Ish. You have to give her the... But here we find a very exceptional case. That although the Torah says that the Shem Tevel depends upon stage two, but yet the Afrosha is meaningful even before we get to stage two, with stage one, Havah Shlish. So the Rabbanan said the following, you know what? We're already in the parsha of Hafrasha. Let's set it up so that Mirabbanan, at least, it's already considered Tevel at the point to which your Hafrasha is meaningful. So really, the Isur Tevel and the Chiyuv Hafrasha is Chal on a Doraisa level only when we get to what? Gemar Malacha, not before. And Avash Lish is not enough to generate a Shem Tevel and an Isur Tevel and a Chiyuv Hafrasha. But we're going to tell you the following. Since the Torah recognizes the Hafrasha after Havah Shlish, and the significance of the emergence of the Shem Pri is such that the Hafrasha is meaningful, we're going to now say, it's Tevel. Mirabbanan, it's Tevel. But how far did they go? And here we have the distinction between Achilas Keva and Achilas Aroi. The Rabbanan said, you know what? We're not afraid that if you grab a snack here, you know, before the Gemar Malacha, that you're going to end up, Chas V'Shalom, making confusion and eating Tevel. What we are afraid of is if you make a Gansa Seuda, you know, you have a whole banquet, and that's called an Achilas Keva, and you're Koveh Seuda on something, you know what? Tomorrow you're going to do that even after Gemar Malacha. We can't allow that, because the Torah already recognizes with Havah Shlish, the Shem Pri, and the Hafrosh. Now, the next point that I have to mention here is that achilas behema, feeding your animal, is by definition called what? Anybody guess?
Arai.
It's achilas arai by definition. You can give your animal food that'll last it for a month, and yet it still remains an achilas arai. You can pass the camels, and they're eating straw until doomsday. I don't know if you've ever seen camels eat. They just keep going and going. Non-stop. It's always considered achilas haroi. So what would the person benefit? How would he benefit by taking his fruits, his produce, into his house before Gemar Melacha? It's already after Avos Shlish. The Rabbanan have told him that he's not allowed to eat it, because we're going to consider it as if it's Tevel. So what really is he gaining? And the answer is, he's a farmer who's raising animals, and he wants to feed his animals. So we're going to allow him to do this Harama, and through this Harama, even though already it reached Avos Shlish, and as a result of that fact, he's not allowed to eat it, but he can feed his animal. So why would a person be motivated to go through this entire exercise and bring his fruits into the house, then bring them out of the house and do the winnowing? What is he going to gain? Because in any event, the Rabbanan said he can't eat it. And he's a religious Jew. Harama doesn't mean he's violating the law. He's working within the framework of the law. The answer is, he's going to be able to feed his animal, because that's an achilas haroi. So he's got lots of grains, and he's got lots of food for animals, and he's got lots of apples. So what does he do? He does this whole shtick in order to be able to feed his animals. At the end of the day, when he feeds his animals, he doesn't violate even the Issa d'Rabbanan. And now we're ready for Tosfos. Dibra Maschil, Kidei, Kama. I call it Kama because there are two Tosfos on this page that start with the same heading. Vitema. Dibikomakom havivade tevel midrabana. Why are you telling me that this is a case of a suffix? This is not a case of a suffix. This is a case of a vada. The whole thrust of the Gemara here in its second answer was, you don't have to introduce that the chaver is so reliable it creates a vada against the vada tevel. No. Even if it's a suffix tevel, we can rely on the rove of a chaver. Says Tosfos, what do you mean suffix tevel? Midrabanan, it's vada tevel. Why? Because we're talking after Avos Shlish. And le'inyan achilas keva, the Rabbanan said if he wants to eat a meal, it's asur. Even though he brought it into his house, but it doesn't matter. With Havash Shlish, it became what? Tevel Midrabanan. If it's Tevel Midrabanan, that's Vaday Tevel. So if you want to allow him to eat this Tevel, you have to have a Vaday that he was Mafrish. And we're back to square one, because we don't know if the Chaver sets up a Vaday, or the Chaver is still a Suffolk with a robe and a Miyad Shenikar, etc., etc. And I'll prove to you, says Tosfos, that Midrabanan is Asur. Because what did Rabbi Oshia tell me? That through this Haroma that he brought into his house, what is he allowed to do with this Tvuah? Kedesha Tehei Behem Ocheles. Mashma Valhu Atzmo Asur. But he himself cannot eat it. Again, he can eat it by Roy, you know, take a little snack, a little bite here and there, but he can't really make a meal out of it, he can't bake bread out of it. That's going to already be a Suda and an Achilas Keva. So how does the Gemara justify its preposition that we're talking about a suffix when Midrabanan we're talking about Tevel Vaday? That's not a suffix. Ubetosefta Tanya, Umaisilo Beperkama de Beitza. I'll prove it to you from a brisa that's brought by the Gemara at the beginning of Beitza. It says, Hichnis Labayas, Shibolim, Lasos Man Isa. So now he changes the sequence and he brings his shibolim into the house before he did Gmar Molocha. And now he's going to make himself a dough, meaning he takes the shibolim and he grinds them, he makes a flour out of it, he makes a dough by adding water. The Brisa says, Ochman Aroi. He can eat from it on a very temporary basis. Have you ever been on an airplane and they bring you out a kosher meal and you read the label on the roll and it says Birchas o Mizonos? Have you ever seen that? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? That really means that you're eating an Achilas Aroi. Now, how can you eat a roll if you didn't tell me that it was made with made peiros or whatever it is? To me, it looks identical to a roll. I should be washing and benching. That's something that I'm koveh suda. It's very misleading. What I do is, if I'm really, really hungry and I'm desperate, I want to eat this roll, is I break it down into very, very small pieces. And after I finish whatever is on the, you know, on the all the great food they give you, right? So then what I do is I leave over a little bit of yogurt, you know, if they give you a yogurt, if you're lucky, and I mix the bread into the yogurt, you know. So then it's mamash and achilas aroy, it's at the end of the meal, it's mefurarim, it's mixed up in something else, you know. But otherwise, it's a real problem when they tell you berchas of mizonos, which means that if you have a window seat, you don't have to bother the two guys on you, you know, or this fat, or whatever, and in order to go out and wash, you know what I'm saying? And how do you wash? You have to wash in the bathroom, that's also Shiloh. Where do you get a cup to wash it? Because I don't think this is a cup. You know, there are millions of issues here about washing on a plane. Besides which, you never know if you're allowed to eat. You know, is it day? Is it night? Is it yesterday? Is it tomorrow? What is it? Right? You don't know if you're in Australia or you're across the dateline. Don't know where you are. So anyway, they tell you berchas mizonos. You know, but it's complicated. But basically, it means you're allowed to eat an achilas aroy. So this whole enterprise where he goes through this project of bringing his shibolim inside the house before he does meruach, which is really strange, it's like scratching your ear behind your back, is all only permissible to allow him to eat an achilas aroy, take a little nibble of it, but don't eat it as a seuda. If that be the case, then what do we have over here? We have the chaver. Now, what is the status of the chaver? Is it a vadai that he was mafish maser, or is it a suffik? Now we're holding it's what? It's a suffik. Are you with me, Rabosei? This is critical. Again, the first answer of the Gemara was that a chaver is a vadai. Now the Gemara is going back to its original proposition when it made the equation to chametz, that the hafrasha of the chaver is a suffik. Now, is this suffik pitted up against the vadai? Or against a suffik? Well, it depends. If it's on a Doraisa level, then Eochinami have a suffik. But if it's on a Drabbana level, it's a vadai. Because the Rabbanan said, we don't need Gmar Malacha. With Avash Shlish, it already is what? It's Tevel. And you're not allowed to eat it. Again, we have to qualify that. You're not allowed to eat what kind of Achila? An Achila's Keva. But nevertheless, vis-a-vis an Achila's Keva, you have a real full-fledged Isur Tevel Mid Rabbanan. And now you have a vadai. Now you can tell me, well, the chaver was mafresh. Well, that's only a suffik. So you have a suffik against the vadai. He says, v'choshevlu, he says, kasi suffik emotzi midei vadai durabonon. Now, I would ask you to underline those words if you like to underline things that help you see the most important part. You know, again, my Rebbe was opposed to this because he once asked to borrow Gemara, so somebody gave him his Gemara and they were underlined. So the Rav said, if it was my Gemara, I'd underline every single word on the page. But for us guys, on our level, if you want to underline something that so that your eye can catch the main goal of this cache of Tosfos, you should underline the following words, v'ka'asi sofek u'motzi midei vadai d'rabbanon. In other words, once the Havash Shlish took place, we have now vadai tevel d'rabbanon, which is only an Isur of Achilas Keva, but nevertheless, as far as Achilas Keva, it's a Vadi Drabbanon. The Kaasi Safeg, the Safeg that maybe the Chavra was Mafrish, that's only a Safeg. And it's Motzi Midei Vadi Drabbanon. And this undermines the entire thesis of Rava, because Rava says, ain't Safeg Motzi Midei Vadi. Here's a case with Safeg Motzi Midei Vadi. So what did the Gemara gain by telling me that I don't even know if it's Tevel to begin with, because maybe he did this Harama? Yeah, even if he did this Harama, it's Tevel. The Harama is not going to circumvent the Shem Tevel. The Shem Tevel will be Chal on a Drabbanan level, even if after the Avash Shlish, he takes it into his house. It doesn't matter. The very moment there's Avash Shlish, there's Tevel. So Rabosa, I just want to notify you for your own erudite scholarship that this kasha appears in Tosfos elsewhere in Masechta Menachos Adaf Samach Zayin, and there Tosfos says it's not a kasha to begin with. Tosis says that when the Rabbanon instituted an Isur Tevel, it was only in a possibility where it could come to Tevel Doraisa. Namely, he's got Havah Shlish. And now the Rabbanon are going to say, once it's Havah Shlish, you're not allowed to eat it. Achilas Keva. Why? Because what do we anticipate happening? Hello, anybody home? Gemar Malacha, which means that it'll be Tevel Doraisa. But in this case, says Tosus in Masechta Menachah, it's not here, there will not be Tevel Doraisa, because what did he do after Havah Shlish? He brought it into his house. Once he brought it into his house, there'll never be a Tevel Doraisa. Tosus here understood that with Havah Shlish, it's Tevel Derabana. Doesn't matter what happens subsequently, whether he took it into his house or he did Gmar Malachu, in which order, it's irrelevant. Why? Because Tosus here is of the opinion that Havah Shlish generates an Isur Tevel Derabana. Tosus Menachah says no. It only generates an Isur Derabana as long as there's a possibility of following up with a Gmar Malachu that would engender Tevel Doraisa. So the Rabbanan said, you know what? We're going to anticipate what comes down the line. We're going to anticipate that you will create Tevel Doraisa through Gmar Malachu. So even before Gmar Malachu, it's Tevel. But in a case where there's no way, no how, that you can anticipate a Gmar Malachu because you already brought it into the house, in such a case, there's no Tevel Derabbana. Again, what's he going to do with this Machil Behema? That's a problem. Why does Gemara say Machil Behemto? He himself is allowed to eat it, according to Tosu Menachas. And Tosu Menachas deals with that question. So I just want you to know that, you know, we're learning this Tosus. We're so impacted by this Tosus, and we assume with Havah Shlish, the Rabbanan instituted a new entity called Tevel, with the Isur Tevel. Even if you're looking at food and produce that was brought into the house, it doesn't matter because you already had Havah Shlish. Once it's Havah Shlish, automatically, without conditions, Chazal clamped down an Isur Tevel. So Tosfos says, if that be the case, then you don't know if the Chover was Mafresh or not. That's a Sofek, because again, we're in the second answer of the Gemara. And now you have a Vadei Tevel, because if he came Tevel Midrabanan with what? With Havah Shlish. Was he Mafresh? Was he not Mafresh? I don't know. Maybe it's a rove, but there's a Miut Nikar, and we're still in the Sofek, and we started with a Vadei, which is Vadei Tevel. Once it reaches Havah Shlish, it's a Vadei Tevel. Unconditionally, says Tosus. Not like Tosus and Menachos. And the truth is, Rabosai, if you'd ask me, I think Tosus and Menachos is right, and not our Tosus. Because if Tosus here is right, that with Havah Shlish it became Tevel, Mirabon, and then it should be also even for Achilas Arai. Because once something is Tevel, the Torah itself doesn't recognize any difference between Achilas Arai and Achilas Keva. So why would the Rabbanon limit this shame Tevel? Well, yeah, it's Tevel, but only as far as Achilas Keva, but as far as Achilas Arai, it's not Tevel. I mean, you really, in Hebrew we would say, you're making it so complicated. Tosus and Menachos is saying it much clearer. Tosus is saying they never clamped down at Shem Tevel. What they did is, they anticipated the Gmar Malacha at an earlier stage. But if it was already brought into the bias, and there's no possibility of a Gmar Malacha that would generate a Shem Tevel and a Chi of Afrasha, then that's not Tevel Derabbana. And therefore, if we're looking at fruits that were not brought into the house yet, then the only way you could explain how we're allowed to eat from these fruits without afrosh is if we assume that the chaver is so reliable that it creates a vadai. I skipped a beat here. I'm sorry. Just let me get the calculation once more. According to Tosus and Menachos, it's not vadai tevel. Correct? Because what are we looking at? We're looking at Tvur that reached Havah Shlish. Is that Vadei Tevel or not? Tosa says here, it's Vadei Tevel. And now you're going to need a suffix to be Motzimide Vadei, and then we undermine Rabba Shita. No. Tosa Menachah says it's not Vadei Tevel. It may be Tevel Derabbanan at this point. If he follows through with a Gmar Malacha. But if he doesn't follow through with a Gmar Malacha until he brings it into the house, then it's completely mufka from Afrosh's Tevel, of becoming Tevel, then the Rabbanan never considered it Tevel. So we're still, according to Tosfos in Menachos, in the state of Safek. So again, just to summarize, well, our Tosfos is predicated on the assumption that we're dealing with Vaday Tevel Derabanan, because the very moment it reaches Havah Shlish, automatically it becomes Tevel. Tosfos in Menachos says no. We don't know that it's Tevel. It may become Tevel. It all depends on what he's going to do later. If subsequently he's going to follow through with a Shem Tevel, meaning he's going to do the Gemar Molocha, and the Torah recognizes that as the Machayev of Tevel, of Tevel of Afrosha, then Enochinami, already now, it's considered Tevel. But we don't know that that's going to happen. As the Gemara says, there's a possibility he might bring it into his house before the Gemar Molocha. And then the Rabbana would never have prohibited it as Tevel. And yet, despite the fact that we have a Vaday Tevel Dirabbanan with Havah Shlish, that's Tosfos Shita here in Psachim, nevertheless we're allowed to eat from these fruits because of the Chaver, and the Chaver only generates what? A Safek. So we have a case of Safek Motzim Idei Vaday. Is therefore, says the Gemara, Gabi Chometz Nami. We should say the same thing by Chometz. A Milo Asi Safek, meaning the Safek that probably the chulda ate the chametz. Umotzim idei vadei bedika derabbanan. Now wait a minute. How do we know that we're dealing with a case of a derabbanan? And the answer is the midoraisa bebitul baal masagi. Do you remember that song that we sang? We're back on daf dalav days. Midoraisa bebitul baal masagi. So Tosfos says that in case of bedikas chametz, we have a vadei derabbanan. And now we have a suffix, maybe the chulda ate the chametz, just like in the case of Tevel. After Avos Shlish, we have a vaday derabbanan, and yet we can assume that the chaver was mafrish, so the suffix of the meaning a rov with a miyadnika, of the afrasha of the chaver is enough to be motzim idei vaday Tevel derabbanan. Is so too the suffix of the chulda that generates a rov that it ate the chametz with a bidnika would be enough to be motzi midei vadei derabbanan of bidnika. How does Tosfos know the bidnika is only derabbanan? Because midoraisa bebitul baal masagi. Omeri, we made a boob. The masnis and iri below bitl. Our whole sugya here, from the get-go, is talking about a case where there was no bittul, and therefore avivadei d'oraisa. So even though we can prove from the case of chaver that a safek could be motzi midei vadai, that's only as far as tevel d'rabbanan. But if you'd have a tevel d'oraisa, like the case in our mishnah where you have ownership over chametz, is there ein safek motzi midei vadai? It comes out like this. In general, the rule will be as follows. Ain suffik motzi midei vadai. The exception to the rule will be a case of an isur derabbanan. In a case of an isur derabbanan, suffik will be motzi midei vadai. And that's basically an application of the universal principle called suffik derabbanan lekula, that derabbanan, even in a case of suffik, on mekil. With regard to bedikas chametz, we're dealing with the doraisa. And why are we dealing with the doraisa? Because if that chametz is in his rishus and he hasn't yet made bittul, he's going to violate bal yirah bal yimatzai, and that's on a doraisa level. So now that he saw the chulda taking the chametz into the house and he hasn't yet done bittul, he's in a situation of a vade doraisa. Says Rava, he's chayav in bedika, because the Torah did not recognize a safek, even with a rov and a miyut nikar, to be motzi midei vadai do raiso. I, over here, in the case of chaver, the safek is motzi midei vadai. The answer is that's because chaver is talking about a drabbanon. And why are we talking about a drabbanon? Because there was no gemar molacha. And if there was no gemar molacha, the drabbanon said it's tevel, midrabbanon. Okay, it's a vadai tevel, but nevertheless we can rely on the probability that the chaver was mafrish masa to allow you to eat tevel derabbanan. But in a case of bedika, when we're dealing with doraisa, there we need a vadai to be motzim midei vadai. And why are we dealing with a vadai doraisa in our mishnah? Because it was before what? Before bittul. Where does Rashi say that it was before bittul? This is a big chiddush in the Ri, because the halacha is, and we saw it back on Davar, habodei tzarech sheyivatel. I mean, this man did his bedika. Kedasu kedin. The trouble is this weasel over here. But if not for this darn weasel, then he did his bedika. So you can tell me he didn't do bittel? Says the Ri, he didn't do bittel. Why didn't he do bittel?
Because who's waiting the next day?
So Rashi assumes that he did bittel. If Rashi assumes that he did bittel, then the whole enterprise here is only derabbanan. And if that be the case, we're dealing with an issue of suffik be motzi midei vadai. Now, if suffik is motzi midei vadai in the case of tevel, because we have a vadai tevel bin rabbanan once this avashlish, then suffik should be motzi midei vadai in the case of bedika once he did bittel, which means that according to Rashi, if we assume he did bittel, then how could Rava say that he's chayav in bedika? Why is he chayav in bedika? Says Rava, because ain't suffik motzi midei vadai, because he knows that the chametz went in there. He doesn't know for sure that the animal ate the chametz. We're dealing with the derabbanan. According to Rashi, we're dealing with the derabbanan. It's after bittel. Now, if it's after bittel, then we should prove from the case of chaver shemes v'niach maguruv le'peros is harem b'cheskas misukanim, that you're allowed to eat these fruits. Why? Because suffik is motzi midei vadei derabbanan. Whenever you have a vadei derabbanan, if you can have a suffik, which means a robe, then you can be motzi midei vadei. So how could Rava say no? The man has to do bedika. What do you mean he has to do bedika? Suffik is motzi midei vadei. Tosus is so impressed with this question that he comes to the conclusion that our Mishnah is talking about a chiyuv bedika doraisa, because he knows he has chametz, he has not done bittel, and on a doraisa level, Rav is right, ain't suffik motzi midei vadai. I in Tevel, we say suffik is motzi midei vadai, that's because we're dealing with Tevel derabbanan. Because he was machnes ol b'motshalo, so he doesn't have gemar malacha. All he has is avos shlish. That's tevel vadai, tevel derabbanan. On vadai, tevel derabbanan, we can say that the rov is motzi midei vadai. But in the case of bedika, when he hasn't done bittel yet, we're dealing with a violation of two lavim in the Torah by Yerov Yimotze. There, suffik is not enough to be motzi midei vadai. Rov is very, very comfortable here. But according to Rashi, that we're talking about before bittel, according to Rashi, after bittel, then we reduce the chiyuv bedika from the level of a doraisa down to a derabbanan, and with regard to the derabbanan, we can prove from Magura Malan Paris or Ibn to cut him, that suffik is motzi midei vadai. So how could Rava tell me I'm chayav in bedika? So the answer has to be rabosai. That bedikas chametz derabbanan is different from every other derabbanan. Every other drabbanon is suffik drabbanon lekula. And if I have a suffik about it, we can be makil. And suffik is motzi midei vadai, because we end up with a suffik. So for example, you're dealing with tevel drabbanon. And in this case, I could assume that the chaver was mafrish chumas of maisus. I still have a suffik. The answer is suffik drabbanon lekula. That's the universal application of the rule of suffik in derabbanans. But there's one derabbanan that's different, and that is bedikas chametz. And the reason for that is because the entire enterprise of bedikas chametz is built on suffik. As I mentioned to you yesterday, and I can't repeat this enough, there's no reason for me to assume that there's chametz there. I cleaned out my house. My wife did a great job. Why should I assume this chametz? The answer is, to Rabbanan say, we want you to be absolutely certain that there's no chametz. And if there's a possibility, a remote chance that there's chametz there, you're chayv in bedika. The entire enactment or obligation of bedika is predicated on suffik. So don't tell me, well, I have a suffik, maybe the animal ate the chametz. Rav is not going to tolerate that. Rav is going to say, the chametz went in. If the chametz went in, you have a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. Tell me that the animal ate the chametz, maybe, but I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm chayv in bedika. Because bedikah means if you don't know for sure, you have to follow through with bedikah. The chiyuv bedikah is predicated on a suffix. Now, boss, I'm not saying that every time I do a bedikah, that's a suffix, because then I can't make a brach. We don't make a brach on a suffix. That would be a suffix brach alahakim. But it means yechayv b'toras vada. But what generates the chiyuv? The chiyuv is generated because of the suffix. And that's the nature of the rabbanon of bedikah. So he did bittul. And Rashi would insist that the bedikah now is set in our sugya is the rabbanon. That's the classical bedikah. It's always the rabbanon. But nevertheless, don't tell me suffix. Because if you tell me suffix, I'm back to square one. Square one is the rabbanon said you're chayv in bedikah whenever there's a suffix. You can swear about this place you never ever brought in chametz. It's makom shein ma'achlis v'chametz. Then there's no suffix to begin with. You can swear to me that you checked every little corner and nook and crack in the house. You didn't find chametz. You took out all the chametz. Then you're in a situation of vada. But unless you have that vada, you are chayav in bedikah. And that's the way the rabbanon established bedikah. They want you to be in a state of vada. And therefore, when you tell me that maybe the chulda, or probably the chulda, ate the chametz, you're still left with the suffix. But in a regular classical drabbanon, like for example Tevel, when there was no Gmar Malacha, in such a case the Rabbanon said, okay, Midrabbanon, it's Asur, it's Tevel. But if you have a suffix to believe that there was Afrasha, like the case of the Chaver, then suffix drabbanon lukhu. But Bedikah is going to be the exception to that. Why then does Rabbi Zera, for example, work overtime to try to justify the chiyuv bedikah in the case of the chulda? Well, the chulda's not in the mood, it's shire, it leaves over, blah, blah, blah. Why does he need all that? Why does he just say bedikah by its essence is mechayev in a suffix situation? So, Don, you may remember what I said yesterday. Let me just review. That when the chulda goes in with the chametz, if we are to assume that it eats the chametz, then the chametz never went in. It's not that there's a suffix, did the animal eat the chametz? It's not that we know that the bias now, and the original chazaka of Makom Shein Ma'achlisa, we know that that's completely destroyed, the bias has chametz in it, now we have to sit and think and contemplate, well, did the chulda eat the chametz, did it not? There's another way of approaching it. And this is not called hachnasas chametz. Because if the chulda takes the chametz and it eats it, then this chametz never went into the house. It's a very temporary situation. What we see is the chulda holding the chametz, running into the house, but what we didn't see was the finito, and the chulda ate the chametz. There was never a normal permanent way that you brought the chametz into the house. Normally I have stacks I have drawers full of chametz, right? I remember I was a guest in the house of one of the rabbanim many, many years ago in a place called Newton, Massachusetts. And during the course of Shabbos, I had a chance to open up one of his closets. And what I saw there were packages and packages of Cheerios. I said to myself, this is going to be a nightmare on Pesach. I hope he finishes it all up before Pesach. Why was he holding on to so many packages of Cheerios? Not because he thought the price of Cheerios was going to go up when they were hoarding. Because of Yashan, exactly. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik and is Yashan. And therefore, he had to make sure that he stacked up early in the winter, because already at this time of the year, I don't know, I'm not in America, so I can't promise you, but probably a good deal of Cheerios in America today, or if not today, then probably by February for sure, is Chadash. So those who apply, you're from Chicago, I don't know, you remember Baron Soloveitchik? You know, he was very makpid on Chadash. In Skokie Yeshiva, or Yeshiva I should say, they didn't have any Chadash. It was Chadash free. I got lucky, I once got stuck because of a snowstorm. Talking about snow here this time of the year. I got stuck in Chicago for 3 days and they put me up in the Skokie dormitories. Now, okay, they weren't the most fancy dormitories, I'm not going to get into that, but it was great for me because at least for 3 days I could eat in the Cheder Ochel because all the food was Yasha and I had no problem. And this was in the heavy part of the winter when everything on the, not everything, but there was a wealth of Chadash on the market, but not in Skokie Yeshiva. There it was all Yashin, so I lucked out. So I have this vision of Rabbi Siegel, you know, in Newton, and I open up his closet and it's boxes and boxes of Cheerios. That's called a Makom Shemach Nisan Bo Chometz. That I can guarantee you. He's got to do a real serious bedika. But a chulda comes in with chometz. Yeah, why is it holding chometz? It just wants to mess up your bedika. That could be. Chulda is very smart. It's very smart. Chulda. It doesn't like your bedika. So in front of your eyes, it brings in the chometz. No, the reason why chulda is holding on to the chometz is because he wants to eat the chometz. So if that be the case, it never really. It's not like the Cheerios that you're stashing away in your closet. And therefore, the Gemara thinks that you should not be chayiv in bedikah. So Rava says, no, that's not so. You're chayiv in bedikah. This became a makom shemach nisa bo chametz. The chulda brought in the chametz. You saw that with your own eyes. The original chazaka of the bedikah is completely gone. It's null and void. And now you have to have a vadai to remove yourself from the suffix. Why do you have to have a vadai to remove yourself from the suffix? There already was bittel. Aboni tzor shivatel. It's drabanan. In drabanan we go the kulin suffix. I'll prove it to you from Tamil. The answer is because bedikah shiny. Bedikah is different. The Rabbanan established bedikah on a suffix. The whole enterprise, the whole chiyuv was enacted on a suffix. And until you tell me you're absolutely certain and convinced that the chulda ate up the chametz, you're chayiv in bedikah. All right, Rabbosai? So I'm going to wish everyone a great Shabbos. On Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to try to take a look at the second kiddush, and then we'll move on. And again, you may ask yourself, why is Rabbi Berzon spending so much time here on Tesam and Aleph? I promise you, you'll thank me one day, because as we go through the sugyas, we'll always be coming back to these basics. This is a very profound sugya, and it not only has implications and repercussions in Bedikas Chometz, it goes way beyond Chometz. This sugya has implications in Yoredeya, left, right, and center. And the principle of Ein Sofik Motzim Yedei. Okay then?
Okay.
Shabbat Shalom to everyone.